Welcome to the Divorce Survival Guide podcast, where we have open and honest conversations about co-parenting, separation, divorce, and the hardest question of all, should you stay or should you go? I'm Kate Anthony, your Divorce Survival Guide, and I'm here to help you navigate some of the roughest waters you've ever swum in and answer some of your toughest questions. I've been to hell and back, and now it's my mission in life to help you get to the other side of this process with your sanity and your heart intact. Hey everyone, welcome back. So before I get to today's episode with my dear friend Tracy Conan, we're going to be talking about all things MLM. But before we get to that, I want to talk a little bit about Phoenix Rising. And there have been a couple things that questions that have people have asked or sort of fears that people have expressed that I want to address. So first of all, someone mentioned that they felt like because I have a Facebook group with over 17,000 women in it, that Phoenix Rising would be full with like hundreds of women and they wouldn't get their attention or their money's worth or whatever. That is could not be further from the truth. This program currently has maybe 30 women in it, and not everyone shows up to every call. So far, I don't think anyone has had an issue with not getting the personalized attention that they feel that they need. So there's that. This program does not have hundreds of women in it. I was going to say I wish it did, but I don't actually. That's not the kind of program that I want to run. I really, really, really want to be able to be accessible to as many women as possible, but also be able to serve them in a way that has integrity to me. And that's really important to me. The second thing I wanted to address is that people are concerned about the calls and when they are and if they can make them and if they can't make them. And here's the deal. I have made the calls at different times and different time zones. So there are two group coaching calls a month. One of them is at like 9 a.m. Pacific. And then the other one is at 5 p.m. Pacific. And I've done that so that people can, in different time zones, can hopefully make it. They are recorded. When I do the Q&A and lives in the Facebook group, they are also recorded and you don't have to show up live because there is a thread in which I ask for your questions and in advance so that we can answer them on the live. Listen, there are people that will show up to every call because that's how they work best. There are people who will show up to every call and do all of the worksheets and watch all of the videos and do every ounce of work given to them because that's how they work best. There are people who are going to show up to the calls and not do any of the other work or the worksheets or listen to the programs. There are people who are not going to show up to any call, but they're going to dive in and diligently do all of the work that is provided to them and they will listen to the recordings, right? Here's the deal. There's no wrong way. There's no wrong way. If you sign up for this program and you show up in the way that works best for you, you're going to get what you need from it. And I promise that will be a lot. So I wanted to address those because I think that, you know, sometimes we listen to podcasts and we see people in groups or whatever, and we sort of make up stories about how accessible they are in their programs or in, you know, their groups or whatever. And I just wanted to address it. If you're making up stories about the fact that this program has got like too many people in it and I'll never get what I need from it, I promise that's not true. And if you're concerned that you can't make all of the calls, please let that go. Don't worry about it because I've designed this program so that that's okay. So if you are getting divorced, if you've already made the decision, whether you've had the conversation or not, but you've actually made the decision and you need support, that is affordable and accessible, Phoenix Rising is 100% for you. With that said, let's turn to today's episode with Tracy Conan. Tracy has been investigating fraud for more than 25 years, but she didn't always want to be a forensic accountant. With a dream of one day being a prison warden, Tracy went to Marquette University in Milwaukee to get a criminology degree. A class on financial crime investigations reminded her how much she loved Encyclopedia Brown books as a kid. She continued her criminology degree, but added accounting and economics courses so that she could become a CPA. And here she is, finding money in cases of corporate fraud, high net worth, and other financial shenanigans. Now, Tracy also runs a website that is an anti-MLM website that she has been running for many, many years. She knows a lot, almost all there is to know about MLMs and why they are predatory against women. Her mission and her website is The Pink Truth, and it's amazing, but this conversation is really cool. I have a no MLM rule in my group, in my Facebook group, when people are posting in the job boards and stuff, because I believe in this so strongly, and I've wanted to do an episode on MLMs for a very long time, and so I was really excited to get Tracy on to be able to do that. Tracy, thank you so much for coming back on the show and talking about MLMs.
It is always fun to be here. And multi-level marketing is a hobby that I've had for a really long time. And so I always like talking about it.
So, okay. So first of all, you have an entire website dedicated to this. So will you just sort of tell us about your history with this and how this has become such a hobby for you and like how you got into this?
Back in 1998, I was working as a forensic accountant. I was working at a firm and I really enjoyed my work, but I wanted to have my own thing. I was not going to stay at that accounting firm and become a partner there. They knew it. I knew it. It just wasn't that kind of fit. I didn't know how I would ever be self-employed or be an entrepreneur. And like many people who get involved with MLM, at some point I got invited to a Mary Kay party. Come play with makeup, put stuff on your face, girlfriend time, it'll be fun. Sure, why not? I went. Of course you go, and the first thing they want to do after it's over is talk to you about the quote, business opportunity, which I will tell you is no opportunity at all, people. So I listened to their spiel about selling Mary Kay cosmetics, and they figured out right away that I was a very numbers-oriented person, and they presented me with some faked-up numbers about here's how much money you can make. If you're willing to put in this kind of time each week, here's how you can build a business. And I thought, oh my gosh, here's my opportunity to have something of my own. And I signed up for Mary Kay. And I went great guns with it. I was going to be one of the top 2% of people and become what they call a sales director. And I was going to quit my job and I was going to make all the money and someday drive a pink Cadillac. And it was going to be so fabulous. And after a year and a half in this company, suddenly my blinders came off and I recognized that I was involved in a grand pyramid scheme where they lie to you to get you in. They keep pulling the wool over your eyes. If you question them, you're negative. You are shunned, or you aren't following the way. You didn't do it right. It's all your fault.
You have a negative mindset. Nothing good comes from a negative mindset.
Right. Right. Uh-huh. Any sort of questioning is talked down. I mean, there are very cult-like behaviors that they engage in.
Yes.
And so when I left the company, I had, in the meantime, started my own forensic accounting practice. So I'd been in Mary Kay for about a little over a year, and I had decided to go out on my own with my forensic accounting practice. And when I decided that I didn't want to be a part of Mary Kay anymore, I was still questioning a little bit. I wasn't 100% sure. I was like 85% sure. So I said to my sales director, I want to take a step back from this. I want to focus on this forensic accounting business that I've started. I just can't run two businesses at the same time anymore. And she literally mocked me.
Wow.
She mocked me for that decision.
Uh-huh.
Yes, right. Because we're so positive.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so...
Well, and also... Also, I just want to also pause here. It's like they call, you know, they call them also like your coaches, right? And right. to be clear, these people have zero training in coaching.
Right.
So that like, for even if they wanted to coach you into staying, like mocking you is not a tool that any coach would use or any coach worth their salt, right? So I just get so mad about those sorts of things. I just need to yeah.
Well, she had said to me, and I will never, ever forget this. No one ever felt good because of accounting services that were provided to them. We make women feel good about themselves every single day in Mary Kay. Well, I'll tell you what, after investigating fraud now for over 25 years, I will tell you that I make a whole lot of people feel good when I do fraud investigations for them and I figure out what has happened to their money, where it went, I get the answers. Yeah, people are feeling better about themselves, even... You know, yeah, fraud's a negative situation, but I'm doing a whole lot of good in the world.
It's a lot more good than makeup.
As I came out of Mary Kay, I had thousands and thousands of dollars of inventory that I had to sell through. And I was unloading it online. I was trading with people. I was selling at cost. I was doing everything I could to unload this stuff and just recover my investment in it, which I ultimately ended up doing. But in my travels, I started talking to more people about it and started to realize that there were people out there who were dissatisfied with their experience in Mary Kay as well. And I found a complaints board. And so we're talking, you know, year 2000, 2001, 2002, the early days of online forums.
Yes.
And people complaining about different companies. And so I found one complaining about Mary Kay and I got involved there and started chatting with people. And it sort of morphed from there. Someone started a website about Mary Kay and people would chat on this website. Oh, there's a blog. I eventually, in 2006, it was July 4th, 2006, Independence Day, I started a website about Mary Kay Cosmetics. And I started off by calling it Mary Kay Sucks, which there's nothing preventing me from saying that. But at some point, my attorney said to me, here's the deal. You're going to have a problem with Mary Kay at some point. If nothing else, they're just going to create some trouble for you. Even if it doesn't ultimately end up with you being in trouble, it's going to cost you time and money. Change the name. So I changed the name to Pink Truth. And so since 2006, I've had this website where we talk about facts and opinions about Mary Kay. And yes, basically give the other side. If you were interested in researching Mary Kay, you'd go, you'd Google, you'd find all the propaganda that Mary Kay and its reps put out there. And then you'd find my little site as well that's going to tell you some of the truth behind what they're saying.
Yes. Okay. And so what is, and so, you know, you basically did this investigation and all of this information about Mary Kay. And it's a model. It's a, quote, business model. So this applies to anything that is multi-level marketing.
Anything. So I have spent hours upon hours upon hours researching multi-level marketing, all different companies, working with other experts in the area. If people are into MLM, they know the name Robert Fitzpatrick. He is one of the most knowledgeable people in the industry about the bad side of MLM. I've worked with him on cases. He and I have talked numerous times, shared research, things like that. And so it's not just that I had a thing against Mary Kay and, you know, it became a hobby of this website. Sure. But I'm also very knowledgeable and researched and I've read a lot about this. And so for gosh, how many years now? 20 some years, I've been immersed in this topic, but of course on the anti side of it.
Right. And you're a fraud investigator. And for the most part, these business practices are pretty fraudulent, wouldn't you say?
100%. It's a total bait and switch. It's, you know, we sell cosmetics. No, you actually, yes, there is a cosmetic for sale, but you are selling a business opportunity. MLMs use their product as the front for the pyramid scheme. The real business is recruiting into an endless chain. Anyone can make money, they'll tell you. No, anyone can't. In order to really make money, you have to recruit at certain levels and get those people to buy in on products at certain levels. Simple math shows you that there has to be losers in the system because right. they're not like there's not an endless supply of people. There's a finite number of people in the world.
That's right. That's right. And so what is the success rate of people who engage in these or, you know, take on this business opportunity?
Well, that's going to depend on how you define success, but I will tell you that 99% of people who get involved will lose money. Now, the second I say that, all the people who love MLM stand up and start screaming and say, wait a second, there's lots of people who didn't ever want to make money. They just wanted good products or they wanted their products at cost. It's really interesting how they talk all about it's a money-making opportunity until someone like me comes along and says, except the stats show, the data, the hard facts show 99% of people are going to lose money. Then you say, well, but they didn't really want to make money anyway. Well, which is it?
Right. They didn't want to make money. Yeah, because there is the opportunity to just sign up as a quote representative and never create your down funnel, right? Because right. you do just want to buy the products at cost. And I did that for something years and years and years and years ago. And I was never interested in selling it. So people do that just because they like the products, but that doesn't mean that the entire thing isn't predicated on selling this idea of being your own boss and being an entrepreneur.
Financial freedom.
99% of people who join MLMs lose money. Why is that? How do they lose money?
Because they are buying products that they don't need. Some of these MLMs have you stock inventory, some do not. But even for the ones who do not have you stock inventory, there are purchasing requirements in order to maintain your status, whatever that may be. In Mary Kay, you have to make a purchase every so many months to be able to stay active, to be recognized as an actual consultant. And they all have their little terminology and stuff. And if you have recruited anyone, if you want to keep them in your downline, in Mary Kay, for example, you have to make a purchase every so many months. And if you don't, you then end up going inactive and the person falls out from under you and you mm-hmm. never get them back. And so these minimum purchase requirements for various levels will cause people to buy products that they don't need. Then there's the pressure to buy products you don't need when you're going for a next level or going for some sort of target or goal or whatever. If we just get X more purchased in our downline, we meet whatever goal. So there's a lot of purchasing of products that people don't need, but then there's all the other costs that go along with it. When they're having you go to events, buy supplies, spend money marketing, buying mm-hmm. leads, running around Oof. Town, all over town, trying to attend meetings and get people to talk to you. There's so many ways to spend money. And again, someone who loves MLM will say, but all that's optional and you don't have to do a lot of it. It doesn't have to be expensive. And that's all your choice. No one's twisting your arm to do that kind of stuff. Right?
Except they are.
But right. when you fail at MLM, which you inevitably will, they'll say, well, you didn't do the things. That's your fault. You didn't do the things.
Right. I don't have to do the things, but if I don't do the things, then it's the reason I failed. As opposed to this system doesn't work.
Right. So they'll never admit that the MLM system doesn't work, because if they ever admitted that it worked, the whole thing, or if they ever admitted that it doesn't work, the whole thing mm-hmm. falls apart and no one ever signs up. they have to keep this charade going that there's an opportunity and it's what you make of it. See, that's this right. person, right? They'll prop up the people at the top of the pyramid and say, so-and-so made $200,000 last year. See, anyone can do it. She was a teacher at a middle school and now she's making all this money. Anyone can do it. The opportunity's there for you.
Right. And what they don't tell you is that she didn't make the money by selling the products. She made the money by having more people in her, right? Because then she, here she's at the top. Then she has five people below her who each have five people below them. This is what makes it a pyramid, y'all. And all of that money is going up the line to her. So she's the one. She's the one, she's not selling the makeup. She's now coaching you on recruiting more people below you and more people below you and more people, right? And this is why it's a pyramid.
Exactly.
It makes me really angry. And listen, I just want to say the reason that we're talking about this is that MLMs overwhelmingly prey upon women.
Yes.
And it preys upon women. They prey upon women by telling them that they are starting their own business, that they are entrepreneurs, that they will have financial freedom. And what they're doing is actually making women more financially dependent upon this abusive structure, financially fraudulent structure, and actually making them poorer.
100%. Mary Kay is such a wonderful example of this. It just happens to be the one that I know the most about. But it's a total wolf in sheep's clothing. For many, many years, one of the taglines that they used was empowering women. Mm-hmm. And they do anything but. It's such a predatory system and women lose so much money in it. You know, $500, $1,000 lost by a stay-at-home mom who wanted to earn money. That's a lot of money for her.
That's right.
And I hate seeing that. What's so interesting is Mary Kay Ash was a master marketer, master manipulator.
Right.
Her thing was that she was really good at coming up with incentives for her sales force. There was even a case study written about her incentives for the sales force. And the deal was spending the least amount possible on an incentive, but getting the most possible money out of the sales force person.
Oh, wow.
So little trinkets that women would compete for and want to get, so they'd spend a bunch of money buying inventory. Now, her most iconic incentive that she ever gave out was the pink Cadillac. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you see a pink Cadillac on the road today, you immediately think, whoa, that person is really something in Mary Kay. Well, let me break down the truth to you.
I don't think that when I see one. I think,
how sad for you.
Oh.
So there are women in those pink Cadillacs who are absolutely getting rich off of the backs of other women. Mm-hmm. But the vast majority of them are making $40,000 a year or less. And because of that, many of them are actually paying out of their own pockets to be in that pink Cadillac because they met a requirement to get it. Mm-hmm. They met that requirement probably using their own credit card in large part. And once they get that, if they don't maintain those levels of ordering from their downline, mm-hmm. they are required on a quarterly basis to pay part or all of the value of the lease of that car.
Oh, wow. So the whole thing, it's not a bonus. It's actually you're paying for the lease in one way or the other yourself.
Yes. And you're advertising for the company. The pink Cadillac is the best advertising tool that they ever had.
Absolutely. I mean, 100%, right? Because as soon as you see it, you know, right? I was just reading this statistic that said the top 1% at Amway loses nearly $1,000 per year.
Yeah.
In 1980. Right. So, I mean, because that was really, Amway was, were they the first? Was Amway the first?
They were not technically the first, but they were close to the beginning and they're the most recognizable. Yeah. What's so interesting is that these companies do a very, very good job of not putting out statistics, because if they tell you the true numbers, you'd be like, oh my God, no,
why would anyone do it?
Signing up.
Sure. Right.
But they do something, some of them do something called an income disclosure statement. And they, generally, if companies do them, they do them based upon maybe some sort of regulatory requirement or some sort of other pressure in the market that's causing them to do it. I actually put together a library of these income disclosure statements. They put them out yearly, usually. And so I've been collecting them for years. And if you look at them carefully, number one, you see how incomplete they are in terms that they use and not defining like who does this include and who does it not. But all of them ultimately end up showing that such a teeny, tiny, tiny fraction of people actually make money in it. It's amazing.
And now a quick word from our sponsor. This episode is sponsored by Primis Bank. If you've listened to recent episodes, then you've heard me talk about how important it is to establish a new checking account separate from your spouse. And you've also heard me talk about Primis Bank and all the wonderful resources they've put together for people going through a separation or divorce. Well, there's another fee-free account that they have that gives you more earning potential than most banks' high-yield savings accounts. That's right, Primis Premium Checking comes with one of the nation's highest rates, currently a 5.07 annual percentage yield. And all it takes is a dollar to open. So let me say that again, 5.07%. Just like Primis Perks, every Primis Premium account comes with free ATM use nationwide, no overdraft fees. It has early paycheck deposit, plus there is no account maximum, and they'll never cap your interest earnings. Whether you've heard of Primis before or the name is new to you, you should take a look. They are not like your typical online bank. They're a member FDIC and they have real 24/7 customer service. Plus, the extra work they're doing for their customers, like what they've put together for people who are going through a divorce, is anything but typical. Head on over to primisbank.com/DSG to view more details on Primis Premium Checking and also their other divorce resources like guides, blogs, and so much more. So that is Primis, PRIMIS.com/DSG to take advantage for more resources and to start opening an account today. It really only takes a few minutes. And now back to our show. You know, on the one hand, I love to sort of have conversations with this and be like, can you believe in like, you know, all of that? But then also, these are women's lives. These are people who usually are financially insecure in some way. And sometimes they'll take out loans to be able to begin their quote business. And so it's so predatory, and it's not predatory on, you know, necessarily rich people, right? It's preying upon the needs of the financial needs of women who are often financially disenfranchised.
The criteria is, does she have a pulse and can she get a credit card? Mm-hmm. And that sounds awful.
Yeah.
And I don't mean it to, it's just the reality. If right. you have credit and you are alive, you can get signed up for an MLM.
Right.
You know, and they will teach it. If she doesn't have money for products or a credit card to get products, don't spend your time.
This promise that like, you're building a business. What do you say to that?
You're not building a business. You own nothing. Read your contract that you're signing with the company. If you read very carefully, what you will see is that they can take your so-called business away from you at any time for any reason or no reason at all. They decide you're done. You are done and you have no rights. You own nothing. You don't even own your customers. Anyone can poach your customers. By the way, you know, you're trained to recruit your customers under you. So it's just, right. it's bizarre. It's right. so bizarre.
Anyone who buys an eyeshadow from you, the goal is not to sell them an eyeshadow. The goal is to get them in your downline,
Right. So instead of, you know, making $6 or whatever it is off the eyeshadow that they would purchase, you get them in your downline where you're probably going to make 5 cents when they purchase an eyeshadow. But if you can get a whole bunch of people who do it, you'll make a ton of money, they say. It's just bizarre to me that this is such a widely accepted method of allegedly doing business. Like the vast majority of people in America are like, MLM's fine. I might not want to be involved in it, but it's fine. You know, if it was illegal, if there was something wrong with it, our government would have shut it down.
So there were actually there have been many attempts to try and shut them down over the years. Yes.
And there have been attempts to shut them down or better regulate them, make it more apparent what a bad deal it is for consumers. And the truth is that the MLM lobby is very, very powerful in Washington. There is an organization called the Direct Selling Organization. They call themselves an industry trade group. We're a group of multi-level marketing companies, and we promote good standards and good practices amongst one another. No, the truth is they're actually a lobbying organization. The members are there because the DSA, Direct Selling Association, that's what it is, DSA, will protect their interests, go to Washington, lobby against any laws that are going to create greater transparency. And anything that's going to pull back that curtain, we don't want it.
And it goes really high up, right? There was a big podcast expose on these a few years ago, and they go deep into the political, and I listened to it so long ago, so I actually don't remember, but they go really deep into the political ties all the way up through Donald Trump, because of course he had a few of these, how like that's how connected and tied they are in the government, and how regulation, there's no way to get them regulated.
And it is really perilous to speak out against these companies because they will come after you with everything they have. So in 2010, I was sued for $270 million by a company in California called Medifast. Robert Fitzpatrick, who I mentioned earlier, was also part of the suit. There were a few other people who were part of the suit because we had published some research that we had done about Medifast, their practices, their numbers. And I called them a fraud on my blog. It was 5 years of my life that I lost to that litigation. It was hundreds of thousands of dollars in attorney's fees that we all had. They ultimately ended up having to pay my fees, which were $200,000. And that was at a discounted rate. Obviously, they were never going to get $270 million from me. But their intention was to destroy my life. And they came very close to that. And so interesting, about 18 months into the litigation, the judge in federal court dismissed me from the case and said I was out. I had done nothing wrong. And the other defendants were all still in. Some of the claims against them were dismissed, but they were all still in. I was the one that was completely out. And Medifast appealed that decision. And the appeal took another 2.5 years to be heard. And on appeal, it was affirmed that I was out of the case. And then not only was I out of the case, but they were ordered to pay my attorney's fees. They spent another year fighting over my attorney's fees, saying that we over-litigated. No, I asked to be done litigating years ago. Thank you very much.
You sued me. Yeah. Right? You sued me.
Once I was completely out and it was like final, and they were ordered to pay my fees and we fought about that. And then they finally paid them and it was final. Then they settled with everyone else. It was very interesting.
Wow. So they really will go after you. And they don't care about the money because they've got a lot of it because they're the very top of the funnel.
So owning an MLM company is one of the most lucrative things you can ever be involved in. If you can make this, if you can get enough people into your scam, it is so incredibly profitable. And that's why these companies keep springing up.
Well, sure. Until you you know, even do some more digging about people like, you know, the Lula Rich, right? Did you watch the Lula Rich documentary?
Yes.
Right. Right. Because it didn't end so well for them. They didn't do so well. It's the Dream is the name of the podcast I was thinking of.
Oh, and yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, you know, like at some point they do a whole thing about sort of the politics and the government and the anti-regulation on this. And that's fascinating. You know, one of the things that I also find really fascinating is they, you know, selling this idea that you are, that you're creating your business, right? And you're an entrepreneur. I guess what I always say to that is like, no, you're building their business, right? Like you said, right. You don't own shit. And all you're doing is building their brand awareness. You are now their marketing team. You're like their little Oompa Loompas out there. You know, spreading the gospel of their products, but it's nothing to do with you.
These MLMs are all about churn and burn. Get through as many people as they can. You know, Mary Kay's thing, I mentioned these inventory packages. Mary Kay talks in multiples of 600. So they will talk about inventory packages of $600, $1,200, $1,800, $3,600. The company trains people that, you know, within a few days of signing up to become a rep, you need to get them to commit and pay for one of these packages. And that every day that goes by, you lose another $600 in what they'll purchase. If they can think too long about it, the amount they will purchase will go down and down and down. So it's get them in. Get them to make this purchase right away. And then after they make that first purchase, the idea is every month, get them to purchase more, even if they don't need more. So when I signed up for Mary Kay, I got the $3,600 package. Now, granted, this was 20 some years ago, and they still use the same levels. So it's not the same spending power today, but I still think $3,600 is a lot of money for someone who wants to make money and might be in financial need.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So I bought that $3,600 package my first month because you got all this free product and it showed you were serious about your business. And then my next month, my recruiter said to me, hey, we're doing this really big goal. I'm trying to earn this free car and we need you to place another order of $600. Like, be a team player for us. I'm like, but I don't need that. I've got $3,600. I've barely started selling. I'm just trying to get this off the ground and you want me to spend another $600. Yeah, but if you don't do that, then I'm going to have to start over on this goal and it'll be really hard for me. And just come on, be a team player. And I felt so guilty, like that I single-handedly could be responsible for her having to start over. I stupidly made the purchase.
Why don't you make the purchase, bitch? If you're going to get the car, you spend the $600.
Right, right.
Oh my God. Oh, and again, right? Like, this is not your business. You're not,
one
of the things that they say to you is like, look, if you're starting any business, you have to put in investment capital, right? This is just investment.
You have to invest.
Right. You have to invest in your business. But what you're investing in is someone else's business.
Right.
This is not your business.
Mary Kay did this genius thing about 15 years ago, 15, 20 years ago with this tagline, think like a retailer. And so it really supported this concept of, well, if you were opening a store, you would put hundreds of thousands of dollars into it. But Mary Kay offers you this opportunity to start your business. What's $1,800 or $2,400? It's so little compared to what it would cost to open a store. Think like a retailer. Can't sell from an empty wagon.
You're right. This is why, you know, when you buy a franchise, because that's essentially, you know, you're essentially kind of buying a franchise without the benefits, right? Because,
right?
Like if you, it's, again, you're having to, franchises are another sort of, I guess, another form of this, but you at least have, you know, when you buy a franchise, you're going to look at the paperwork. You're going to look at the accounting over time. You're going to look at why this is actually going to be putting money in your pocket as opposed to taking money out.
You get a proven business method with yes. a franchise.
Right.
Right. And they look out for you and they say, we're not going to have too many of these restaurants too close together. Otherwise, they're going to cannibalize each other. Mm-hmm. There are so many mm-hmm. controls in place and there's a proven profitable method. MLM is anything but it right. is actually proven you're going to lose money. Now, we prop up the people at the top of the pyramid and we show them to you and say, look, here are these winners and you could be one too, even though we know you have almost no chance of ever even turning a profit, much less a big profit.
One thing that I've seen recently cropping up more and more, and I'm sure they've been around for a long time, but they're like insurance MLMs.
Oh, honey.
Yeah. Talk to me about
financial products. Financial products and insurance. Companies like Primerica is the biggest one, but there are other ones. There's one called World Ventures, something like that.
Yeah.
The thing with them is, yes, the insurance and the investments that they sell are legitimate products because insurance is highly regulated, right? So they're going to sell you an insurance policy, like a life insurance policy. Absolutely. That's a legitimate policy. Here's the thing. You're going to pay a lot more for that policy than you would pay through a traditional insurance agent broker type. So because they are paying these levels of the pyramid, they have higher costs to their insurance. Their products typically aren't as good. They're also often selling people things that they don't need. You're being sold by someone who might technically be licensed, but probably is not as knowledgeable as someone in a traditional insurance agent role. That's just how it is. Right. I know I'm generalizing, but it's just the reality.
Is Aflac one?
Aflac is not technically MLM, but is very close to being MLM. Mm-hmm. Aflac has a product, you know, that pays you if you get injured and you have some costs because you ran to urgent care and things like that, and you might have a copay. The Aflac policy pays you some benefits that are meant to help you pay for those kinds of things. It can actually be a very good policy for the average working person. You know, someone in a blue collar who doesn't have a lot of disposable income that could pay that copay for urgent care or something like that. Mm-hmm. It could be a very important benefit for them, but the sales methods are very MLM-like.
Yeah, because I remember meeting someone once years ago and he was like, yeah, I'm building my Aflac business. And it's like, you know, it's really hard and I'm, you know, trying to, you know, get people under me. And I was like, oh, that sounds MLM-ish. So yeah, I was just curious about that. Do you know about how much money the average person loses in MLMs overall?
There's not good data out there about that, right? Because here's one thing is there's a lot of shame surrounding the failure in MLM. And they promote it. They will shame you. You are the failure. You are the problem. We will shun you. Don't hang around with them. They are negative. And so people are reluctant to come forward and say, I lost money and here's how much, because it's so shameful. They've been treated poorly. So there's not good data on that.
Yeah. Again, very cult-like, right? I mean, this is exactly what they do in cults.
Yes.
Oh, it's very upsetting. Why are women so drawn to MLMs? Like, what is it about women that makes us such a good target for this?
I think it's the community. Mm. I think it is the feeling of belonging and sisterhood and being around positive sounding people. And people who are cheering for each other. That's the name of the game in MLM is it's a big rah-rah session. We're always positive. Come to our meetings once a week and we're going to sing songs and clap and do things that make everyone feel good. And I always say, if you want community, there's some great organizations you can go volunteer with.
Start
a crocheting club.
Right. Go to church.
Go to church or create a coffee clutch with some girlfriends in the neighborhood. You can do it for practically for free. You don't have to spend money on an MLM to have friends or to have a hobby or to find belonging. You might have to try a little bit to find a group that you fit in with, to find the belonging, but it's out there and it's free.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a really astute point that it is the community. And I think also in our current culture, current climate with sort of influencer community, people, you know, they're going live every day and talking about their products to their like 14 followers. And it feels like you're an influencer or, you know, and maybe you are, but like for what? You're influencing what? And what do you say about the, you know, people who say like, but these are great products? Like I have a friend who does Beauty Counter, you know, and she stands behind Beauty Counter because of how clean they are and all of that and all of that. And my sort of thought is, there are lots of clean products out there that aren't MLMs. Exactly.
Any MLM product you can find an equivalent non-MLM product. I don't care how great you think the vitamins or the potions are or the makeup or the household cleaning products. There are products out there that are non-MLM that are just as good, just as safe, whatever you like, you can find something. What's really interesting is how MLM companies like to change the name of their products or the names of their companies as people are like getting onto like Medifast, who sued me. They are no longer Medifast. They call themselves something else, Tavia or something like that.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm.
And they also change what we call this quote business method, right? None of them want to be MLM. So it's social selling, network marketing. It's direct selling. Direct selling. Who could object to direct selling? I'm just selling direct to the customer. There's no middleman. We've taken out the middleman. No, you are the middleman.
You are the middleman. Right. How is that? How are we cutting out the middleman? There are thousands of middle women, by the way. They're all women. Right. Men are just not falling for these. Like, what's the deal? Like, are there ones that are specifically for men? Like these, the supplements are. Yeah.
Some men who do this as well. Yes. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Like Joe Rogan is the top of his funnel for whatever, all of his supplements that he's spouting about on his show. What do you want women to know? Like in all of your research and expose in all of this, what's the sort of the key takeaway that you want for women about these MLMs?
If you are looking to make money, there are lots of jobs out there. We have run the numbers over and over and over. You're actually better off at a minimum wage job than you are with an MLM. If money is what you need, there are lots of jobs. You know, you might also, if you need something flexible and you want to do something that's under your own control, then start thinking about what is it that you could do that you can sell? Are you good at making some sort of food that everyone likes? Is there a craft that you could sell? Could you clean people's houses? There's unlimited opportunities to sell something, some services, just not MLM.
That's right. That's right. Thank you so much, Tracy. I really hope that women listen to this. I'm sure I'll get a lot of, you know, hate mail for this, right? But this is the real empowering women conversation. If you want to learn how to do marketing and all of those things that they, you know, pretend to teach you in, like, if you're going to invest money in learning how to do that for yourself, for your own business, where you actually get the return.
So I get told you're just a failed Mary Kay rep. You couldn't make it. Well, guess what? I've had a really successful business. It's not that I'm a failed business person or I don't know how to run a business. I know quite well. Thank you very much.
That's right. That's right. You have the receipts to prove that it's not you, it's them. Tracy, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
This is a conversation I've wanted to have for a very long time on the podcast. So I'm very happy that we were able to do it.
I'm glad it could be me.
Me too.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Divorce Survival Guide podcast. If you like what you hear, head on over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen in and leave me a review. And don't forget to follow me on Instagram at the Divorce Survival Guide. I'll see you next time. And until then, remember, you, my love, deserve to be happy.